193. Quidquid luce fuit tenebris agit. What goes on in the light acts in the darkness, but the other way round as well. What we experience in a dream, provided we experience it frequently, finally is as much a part of the collective household of our souls as anything truly experienced. Thanks to this, we are richer or poorer, have one more need or one less, and finally, in the bright light of day, and even in the brightest moments of our waking spirit, we are ordered around a little by the habits of our dreams. Suppose that an individual in his dreams has often flown, and finally, as soon as he dreams, becomes aware of the power and art of flying as his privilege, and also as his own enviable happiness. Such a man who believes he is capable of realizing every kind of curving or angled flight with the easiest impulse, who knows the feeling of a certain godlike carelessness, an upward without tension and compulsion, a downward without condescension and without humiliation, without gravity, how should a man with such dream experiences and dream habits not also finally discover in his waking day that the word happiness has a different colour and definition? How could he not want a different happiness? A swing upward, as described by poets, for him must be, in comparison with that flying, too earthbound, too muscular, too forceful, even too heavy. 194. The difference between men does not manifest itself only in the difference between the tables of the goods they possess, but also in the fact that they consider different goods worth striving for, and that they are at odds among themselves about what is more or less valuable, about the rank ordering of the commonly acknowledged goods. The difference becomes even clearer in what counts for them as really having and possessing something. So far as a woman is concerned, for example, a more modest man considers having at his disposal her body and sexual gratification as a satisfactory and sufficient sign of having, of possession. Another man, with his more suspicious and more discriminating thirst for possessions, sees the question mark, the fact that such a possession is only apparent, and wants a more refined test, above all, to know whether the woman not only gives herself to him, but also, for his sake, gives up what she has or would like to have. Only then does he consider her possessed. A third man, however, is at this point not yet finished with his suspicion and desire to possess. He asks himself if the woman, when she gives up everything for him, is not doing this for something like a phantom of himself. He wants to be well known first, fundamentally, even profoundly, in order to be able, in general, to be loved. He dares to allow himself to be revealed. Only then does he feel that the loved one is fully in his possession, when she is no longer deceived about him, when she loves him just as much for his devilry and hidden insatiability as for his kindness, patience, and spirituality. One man wants to possess a people, and all the higher arts of Cagliostro and Catiline he thinks appropriate for this purpose. Another, with a more refined thirst for possession, tells himself one should not deceive where one wants to possess. He is irritable and impatient at the idea that a mask of him rules the hearts of his people. Hence I must let myself be known, and first of all learn about myself. Among helpful and charitable men, one finds almost regularly that crude hypocrisy which first prepares the person who is to be helped, as if, for example, he earns help, wants precisely their help, and would show himself deeply thankful, devoted, and obsequious to them for all their help. With these fantasies they dispose of the needy as if they were property, as if they were, in general, charitable and helpful people out of a demand for property. One finds them jealous if one crosses them or anticipates them in their helping. With their child, parents involuntarily act something like these helpers. They call it an upbringing. No mother doubts at the bottom of her heart that with a child she has given birth to a possession. No father denies himself the right to be allowed to subjugate the child to his ideas and value judgments. In fact, in earlier times it seemed proper for fathers to dispose of the life and death of newborns at their own discretion, as among the ancient Germans. And like the father, even today the teacher, the state, the priest, and the prince still see in each new man a harmless opportunity for a new possession. And from that follows... 195. The Jews, a people born for slavery, as Tacitus and the entire ancient world said, the chosen people among peoples, as they themselves said and believed, the Jews achieved the amazing feat of inverting values, thanks to which life on earth for 2 millennia has possessed a new and dangerous appeal. Their prophets fused rich, godless, evil, violent, and sensuous into a unity and, for the first time, coined the word world as a word connoting shame. In this inversion of value, to which belongs the use of the word for poor as a synonym for holy and friend, lies the significance of the Jewish people. With them the slave rebellion in morality begins. 196. We can conclude that there are countless dark bodies in the region of our sun, bodies we will never see. Between us, that's a parable, and a psychologist of morality reads the entire writing in the stars only as a language of parable and sign language, which allows a great deal to remain silent. 197. We fundamentally misunderstand predatory animals and predatory men, for example, Cesare Borgia, and we misunderstand nature, so long as we still look for a pathology at the bottom of these healthiest of all tropical monsters and growths, or even for some hell born in them, as almost all moralists so far have done. It seems that among moralists there is a hatred for the primeval forest and the tropics, and the tropical man must at any price be discredited, whether as a sickness and degeneration of human beings, or as his own hell and self-torture. But why? For the benefit of the moderate zones? For the benefit of the moderate human beings? The moral human beings? The mediocre? This for the chapter, Morality as Timidity.